What's going on, guys? Welcome to Weighing In with Worm. I'm your host, Worm Buffelli. We are here at the Wormhole Studios, about to go with Joel Allen of Waller Catholic. This does run a little long. Joel and I have a lot to talk about, obviously. We coached together for 8 years, had a lot of ups and downs in our program, so it was a lot of fun to sit down and talk about a lot of the good times that we had together there. And also, you know, he's the godfather of my son. He was a groomsman at my wedding. So, you know, we have a lot to talk about, and I think you guys will be very entertained this episode. He talks a lot about his family's philosophies in life and his coaching philosophies in life, coaching philosophies in wrestling. And I think that both types of people, wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans, will really appreciate this episode. This weekend, my wife Kylie, my son Drake, and I went down to the Trailblazer Duel, the first duel of the Iowa Hawkeye women's wrestling season. Very cool. There was 8,500 fans there. If you guys get a chance to go watch them wrestle, please do. I mean, it is a lot of fun. You know, Iowa, it's always been known for really good wrestling, obviously. Their women's team backed it up. They have some of the cream of the crop wrestlers on their team, ladies like Felicity Taylor, Ella Schmidt, Kylie Welker, Bella Mir, just to name a few, and they scrapped hard. A lot of good wrestling. They just are. I mean, they're a step above already. I mean, for being a first year program, they're already a step above. I think, you know, being a Power Five school, you know, in Iowa, especially Iowa, you're not going to go out and try getting just average athletes. You're going to try getting the country's best. And I think Clarissa Chung did a really good job of getting this team there. Also getting to go down and watch Lanny Dugan wrestle for Lindenwood, who was also part of the Trailblazer Duel. She went 2-1 on the day. Had a really close match with Sacred Heart first round and won on criteria, but had a really nice go behind. I think once she gets a leg attack, I think the sky's the limit for her. She's still developing that leg attack, and I think once she develops it's game on. And I think her match with Ella Schmidt from the University of Iowa, who's ranked second in the country, was absolutely unreal. I mean, I think two things happened. She did lose 8-1, but I'm going to tell you what, man. Two things happened. One, a lot of respect was given on both ends. There was a lot of hand fighting, a lot of scrapping. Ella did a really good job of controlling the center, getting push out points. I think she got like one or two takedowns, but then otherwise all the other points were off of push outs. And Lanny hung in there. I mean, I think a lot of respect was earned and given on both ends of that match. I think both girls at the end of the match both looked at each other and was like, that was a good match. So that was cool to see. There's a ton of upside in Lanny Dugan. I mean, for a girl that's only been wrestling for 4 years, buy your Lanny Dugan stock if you're a girls wrestling fan or a women's wrestling fan. Buy your stock in her. I think it's only a matter of time before, you know, that her leg attacks get there and she's just a hammer. You know, I think a lot of good things come her way. So be on the lookout for her the rest of the year. This is the last of our preseason coaches interviews, so I hope you guys all enjoyed these. I had a lot of fun getting to sit down with all the area coaches and really pick all their brains about, and all of them had a different philosophy and a different mentality when it comes to the world of coaching. So I'm just like, super excited for those guys. Everyone that is a part of the Dubuque area wrestling community, you know, season starts Monday, the 13th. When it goes live, it started on Monday. So pretty exciting stuff. You know, wrestling's in full swing if you're a wrestling fan. Going forward, obviously, you know, since this is the last interview, next week's episode is going to be more of a recap of competitions that's happened over the past weekend. I know that Cascade has some duels nights for their women's programs, and then this Friday, Bellevue has their girls tournament, and I'll be going down there. I think grab a couple interviews. I'll be running their seating meeting, but I'm gonna grab a couple interviews while I'm down there as well, just to see what's going on and, you know, see if I can grab a couple good good interviews while I'm down there. A week ago, I posted on social media that I was looking for sponsors for Team Awards, and you guys did not disappoint. I mean, I can't thank people enough. The amount of text messages I got that said that they were interested in sponsoring the podcast. I mean, guys, I say the word blessed a lot, and really, I'm really blessed that you guys all just came out of the woodwork and helped me out on this. I have a bunch of awards that hopefully I can start filling out here now that both boys and girls seasons are going to start rocking here. But, Raider Outdoor Power, Lane's Custom Steel, Gravel Grading and Excavating, Mosky's Barbecue and Cascade, Big Game Wrestling Club, Cascade Athletic Club, Dubuque Wrestling Club, Jared Levy Exit Realty in Dubuque, Leonard Funeral Home, Kramer Pest Control, Hartwig Marina, Spine and Sport Chiropractic in Dubuque. Guys, they all reached out. They all wanted to sponsor awards. Each one of them gets their own weekly award. I'm going to probably have something on social media, like kind of listing all of the different awards. But you guys have seen so far that I've been doing video clips and still shots of each weekly award. So we're going to have a couple ads here, and then we're going to go with Joel, and we're going to sit down and talk wallet wrestling here. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this podcast. Before we get started, are you looking to upgrade your mower? Are you needing a new snowblower for the upcoming wrestling season? If you are, go no further than Raider Outdoor Power. Located at 2580 Rockdale Road, the good folks at Raiders will make sure you are set up for this season to get your lawn looking like a pro-level golf course or to get that snow off your driveway so you can get on with your day. Stop out at Raiders today and they'll make sure you are set and ready to go. Are you looking to restore rusty old metal parts to like-new conditions or protect brand-new components with durable, attractive, long-lasting finishes? Lane's Custom Steel, located in Benton, Wisconsin, can help with the metal finishings and metal coatings, offering a full range of custom metal restoration using powder coating for individuals and businesses. Contact Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. That's Lane's, L-A-N-E-Z, customsteel@gmail.com. Let's get this podcast rolling. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Weighing In with Worm. I'm your host, Worm Buffelli. We are live here at the Wormhole Podcast Studios. Sitting beside me today is Wallert Catholic head coach Joel Allen. Joel has been the head coach at Wallert for 10, this is his 10th season, 11th season. He was the 2018 Northeast District Class 2A Coach of the Year. He has coached a 2018 state championship team, three individual state champions on the boys' side and two state champions on the girls' side. Two handfuls of medalists, you know, double-digit state qualifiers. Joel, my brother, what's going on, man?
Jeremy, thanks for having me, buddy.
I'm excited, dude. You know, for those who don't know, I had the privilege of coaching with Joel for 7 years, and, you know, this has been one that I've been kind of, you know, excited about. You know, he's pretty elusive creature. I've been trying to get a hold of him the last couple weeks. But, you know, let's just go right off the bat, dude. I mean, in about August, I had probably about 50 to 60 people asking me, like, you know, where'd your family go? We're like, where'd you guys go? So tell us what you guys did.
I think the easiest way, and maybe to start off, is to understand that maybe we marched to the beat of a slightly different drum. And that's okay. I think I coach that way too. I think we live that way in a whole bunch of different ways. But basically, we've been lucky enough to... I took a sabbatical year at Wallert. My wife has resigned her position. She's 39 and a half weeks pregnant right now. When she was 34 weeks, we packed up the bags. We took four kids with us. We traveled 20,000 miles, six different countries, and got out of the Middle East about 3 days before everything blew up in Israel. We were in Jordan in a desert right before everything hit. My wife started to kind of have some labor pain stuff going, so we scrapped our plans to go to Egypt. And, we took a 13-hour direct flight home.
It probably ended up being for the better. I mean, if you got trapped over there during that time.
We had someone looking out for us. A lot of times when things are tough, in hindsight, you can look back and say, thank God that happened. And I think we had someone helping us out there a little bit.
Oh, of course.
You know, and people, you know, a lot of people are asking, and like you just said, you guys march should be your own drum. Like, you know, what, you know, kind of what was the thought process behind it? Was it just like one of those things like, hey, we have an opportunity right now, or is it just...
That's great. I think this all comes down to, we get into a little bit of personal philosophy on this, but one thing that, you know, I'm a big time quote guy. Like I read a quote and I get fired up and want to do push-ups. But a quote that just hit me, you know, just knocked me out was, by the age of 12, 75% of our face time with our kids is over. It's like, you gotta let that sink in a little bit. By the age of 12, 75% of the time that you're going to spend with your kids is over. And my son Declan's 10. He still loves me a whole bunch. He's not a teenager yet. So the time was right. You know, I don't know what it looks like next year. To be honest, I could make a million excuses on why not to do it. We had prepared ourselves to pull something off like this. And so we said, what the hell, let's do it. And that quote, though, is largely what is the reason why we said we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I think all the kids will remember for the rest of their lives. And you guys as a family, you know, you guys, like you said, you trek 20,000 miles. That's something, you know, I barely struggle sometimes taking Drake and Kylie if we have to go to Charles City or like go on a little family vacation here and there. But, you know, I can imagine for some reason the entire time you guys are gone, I picture every time you guys are at an airport, the scene from Home Alone where everyone's just sprinting.
There was not an airport experience when we were at check-ins that was less than an hour. Always something. Literally always something. One really quick mini story. We were in Istanbul in Turkey, and we, you know, we left 4 hours before our flight hits. We get to the airport an hour and 54 minutes or 2 hours and 54 minutes before our flight hits. And I'm talking to my driver like, hey, can you drop us off at this place? This is our airline. And he said, you're at the wrong airport. We were 86 kilometers away. In freaking Istanbul, and our flight left in 2 hours and 50 something odd minutes. It cost me a lot of money, and we broke literally every law my driver did to get us there, our taxi driver. And then in route, Tiernan, he threw up everywhere in the back seat. I mean, it was that crazy, but we got there and we made it.
if for people that don't know the Allen family, like, kind of the way I feel like I do, this is almost very on brand. Because if the fact that I coach with Joel, like one of the things I always just assumed is we were going to be late everywhere we went. But we kind of always live by one rule, you know, rule number one, don't panic. Mm-hmm. You know, you just roll with it and go with the flow. I know I feel like sometimes he did it just to make sure that I blew a gasket. But at the same time, man, that's awesome. Like, I was very excited that you guys came home safe, and now, you know, you're enthralled in the season. And, you know, so to move into wrestling season here, just, you know, where did you start with Waller? How did everything get started with Waller?
You're talking about this season or 11 years ago?
11 years ago.
Yeah, wow. So I was at Northeast for 3 years, coaching with Steve Farrell. We had a lot of fun there. Steve was stepping down. I interviewed for the head coaching job at Northeast, and they gave it to me. But like within that little window before they said they were going to give it to me, Joe Kane called me up. I coached him for one season, and he said, hey, I've got a pretty good team. I'm going to go teach abroad. I think you should really consider coming to Waller. So I said, heck, all right. I mean, I threw my name in the hat there. My wife is from Dubuque, and anyone that has married a Dubuque girl knows that you cannot get the Dubuque out of a Dubuque girl. So interviewed at Waller, and, you know, obviously they gave me the job. Emily's family's from Dubuque, so thus started, you know, Dubuque. It's just kind of interesting. Like, I remember, like, going through all of the schooling and stuff, and I'm like, why in the hell would you ever want to teach at a Catholic school? You know, like,
I mean, you're a product of Catholic schools.
I am all Catholic, but it's just like pay and benefits and all that stuff. And then I guess God had a different plan for me. And yeah, there we go. It's been a great 11 years.
Yeah, I mean, the first year you got there, you had 3 state qualifiers, 3 medalists, and a state champ in Tristan Burt. you know, that, I mean, I feel like that's a, it's a great way to start your coaching career off. You know, Tristan was one of those kids that I felt like he needed that perfect, everything had to be right in his mind to win a state. And how do you think, you know, coaching him through, like, what was a couple of things that, you know, you remember from that year?
Well, you know, kudos to Coach Kane, because clearly he didn't leave the cupboards empty when I took over. Yeah, you know, that was a great start to it. I knew that Tristan was capable of it. You know, he comes from a very wrestling, strong family with Ryan and just all his brothers, and everyone knows what that whole story is, a really neat story. But Tristan, you know, it was a lot of mental jujitsu is really what it was. And then true with all of this, I think every single coach that sits in this chair would say, like, It really, the mental game is what we focused on. So, you know, a fun story about Tristan is first weekend of the season, we go up to St. Ansgar. He gets tech-falled by the kid in his bracket who took fourth at the state tournament, you know. And then, you know, Tristan obviously goes out, has a really nice place in the bracket before they seed the tournament, beat a couple tough kids, and then beat a really tough kid from New Hampton in the finals in a really tight match. But yeah, ultimately with him, it was just focusing on, like, he would, I remember him storming out of the room a whole bunch of times. Like, he just felt like he had the weight of the world on him, kind of thing. And with many of these kids, I like to kind of use a story about when I was in Peru, I climbed a 19,000 foot volcano, and we were up, and it was a just really, really difficult task. And on the path up, like, the guy that was taking us up there, there's seven of us that started, only three of us made it to the top, but the guide was like, how do you climb a mountain? And I was like, oh, I don't know, what the hell are you talking about? And his answer is honestly, it's changed my life. It's changed in so many respects, but he said, one step at a time. And that story has been relayed to freaking hundreds of kids. It's changed the way that I live my life, and it really helps kind of like, whoa, we can't win a state title in December. We cannot win a state title in January. Like, we need to focus on what we can control right now. And that is, you know, winning this position or scoring this takedown. And what can we do on the path towards getting to the top of that mountain, which is, you know, the proverbial state championship. But ultimately, it's these little steps. And that's what we kind of had to help him figure out, is these small battles, which would, you know, get him to the top of where he needed to be.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and then along the way, you know, you probably had five or six more state qualifiers along the way. But then a kind of a special group came along in that freshman class in 2015 that ultimately led to a state championship in 2018. You know, I'd be remiss if we don't talk about it, because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we're sitting down in the Wormhole Studios right now, and I'm looking at our state champion picture up there, and I still catch myself staring at it, because, like, dude, it's kind of a Disney movie if you think about it.
It was surreal. That's the best way to explain it. But it was also, like, we had a ton of stuff go our way. You know, like, honestly, we had a ton of preparation to get to that point. And you're right, we had a special group of kids coming in there and some really neat stories. Blake Bradley, who had never wrestled a day in his life, could hardly tie his shoes as a freshman, you know, finishes fourth. And, you know, his win in the consolation semis clinches the state championship. Like, that's a neat story to have, you know, someone go in from not being able to wrestle at all into doing that. But then, of course, that whole group of guys, and even like our unsung heroes that didn't get to, you know, punch their ticket for a bunch of reasons, right? Like Zach Kemp, just a phenomenal kid, Declan Duffy. And then, you know, like our heavy hitters, obviously we had, you know, Colton Bartow, Boone McDermott, Josh Ramirez. I mean, these are guys that had some serious talent. You know, Boone's still wrestling, Josh competing and fighting. You know, but it's funny, like, and Jeremy will attest to this, like, yeah, we won a state title, but it wasn't an easy season, man. Like, it was stressful. There were so many things that were so difficult, and it was awesome, and It was the best, but man.
I had Corey Connell from City High came up to me at the night of the state finals and congratulated us. And he goes, you guys earned more points down here than you guys did at MVCs. And isn't like that was like I stopped and I thought about it and I just had to laugh because it's just like, yeah, dude, like we just something happened and it's hard to describe and you know, you think I constantly think about like when someone asks me about it or something like that, it's like I just don't know. Like everything just clicked that week.
Well, and I think to be honest, it's about knowing. It's about getting an athlete to peak at the right time. You know, like. One of my favorite things to say to a kid, and I believe it, it's not just that I do, but this was something that Boone heard often, Colton heard often, was like, I can't wait for you to wrestle the way that I know that you're capable of, or I can't wait for you to be as good as I know that you are, right? So it's like this positive affirmations. Like, cause, you know, going into Boone and Colton's junior year, they both take third at the state tournament. They had 9 and 10 losses, mm-hmm. you know? And some were some quality kids, but, like, when state hit, they knew that they were going to be the guy, you know? And the same thing happened here with this whole thing. Like, they were getting coached to think that they were the best, and they believed it. And they had been, like, you know, the summer before that, we went to Bulgaria. You know, the thing with Boone... You know, obviously everyone knows Boone's story and he's doing great things right now. But with Boone, he is a hammer when he's comfortable. Mm-hmm. He is not a hammer when he's uncomfortable. So it was constantly for a 4-year thing. In the beginning, the kid needed love and he needed to be hugged because he was just a puppy in the beginning. But then as he started to kind of get better, we needed to expand his comfort zone, you know, so... We went to Bulgaria to make him uncomfortable, right? He came to all of the ISI camps to make him uncomfortable. He
J-Rob.
Yeah, like he was doing the things that he had to do to expand that comfort level. And then we also went into that Christmas tournament in Rochester, you know, where I think in his bracket there was 3 number one ranked kids. There's like 12 top 5 guys, like, you know, and then he got to wrestle Kirkulovec in that one. And that was like... He started to believe when he can go with these guys, and then he's starting to drink the Kool-Aid. And then it just, like, it became too freaking easy for that kid, mm-hmm. which is fun.
Yeah. So, you know, and so with that, you know, after 2018, you kind of hit a little bit of a rough patch. I mean, it is what it is. A
little bit, man. I mean, that, to be honest, the stretch of years that we've had, you know, from 2018... I even said that like when I was in the throe of it, like, man, how would some of these greats like handle this situation? You know, like it was hard. It was really, really hard when you're so passionate about something and you give all this time and you're away from your family and you're doing all these things, but it's just not being reciprocated. You know, when the kids aren't meeting you to go on this ride with, dude, yeah, it was hard.
Cleary even said in the previous episode, one of the previous episodes, he's like, you know, after they won 3 state or they had 3 state champs, he's like, you know, I'm sitting there thinking like, I you know, I finally got this coaching thing figured out, and then the next year at Battle Waterloo, a ref's telling him, hey, if this kid locks his hands one more time, he's disqualified, and he's like, you know, you go from high up to all of a sudden like going, okay, I guess I don't know what I'm, you know, like you know, it's definitely one of those things where it questions your. Not your desire, because I don't think desire is lost, but it questions your...
I think it's fair to bring that in, though yeah. Like, you're questioning everything.
Yeah.
Right? And ultimately, what kept me motivated and kept me there is it takes one kid with a dream. Mm-hmm. And I will be in that corner, and I will be there Saturday at 5 o'clock in the morning. If I have one kid with a dream, I'm there. And the wins and losses, that hurts the pride a little bit. But ultimately, if I've got a kid with a dream, then I'm going to be there and I'm going to help him figure out how to achieve it, which is pretty fun. I mean, it's the best thing in the world, actually.
For sure. And then, you know, going into last year, probably not the best dual record that you wanted, but you got some success out of Jaron Gilley, who, as a junior, goes on a state tournament. Really pops off probably one of the better tournaments I've seen. You know, he showed up and he balled out down there, you know, made it to the semis, lost to the state champ, or runner-up, state champ from Mount Vernon.
We lost to the runner-up. That was runner-up. a wild championship, too. He could get the Assumption Boy won it in the last second. Good match, right? So he had a great run. I think one thing that we've been able to do pretty well is to get kids to believe at the right moment. And Jaron, you know, kudos to him. He plugged away and he was having a pretty nice season. But you're right, like he really performed well. And you know, our dual season, we were 10-11 last year. But I'll tell you what, man, it was a ton of fun. Like, it was so much fun. The guys that we have on the team, just starting to slowly drink the Kool-Aid. And then in the off season, I don't want to get ahead of us here, but in the off season, we went to Estonia. We had an international trip, like drinking the Kool-Aid. I got freaking guys excited right now. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, with that, you know, we have a new season coming up. You know, what's your guys' season schedule look like this year?
So we got, you know, first off, I just had a meeting this morning, and you know, I got 30 guys. I got freaking 30 guys signed up. Like, that's pretty exciting. I mean, here's the thing. Like, you look at our we got 400 kids in the school, 420 maybe, whatever. Half of them are boys. I'm pulling like 15% of the kids to come, or boys to come out on the team. That's pretty neat, man. You know, some of these schools maybe with 1,600 kids, they got 40 guys on the team. You know, that percentage is a little bit lower maybe. But so, like, it's starting to kind of spread. We're having fun. Kids are having fun. They're getting excited about going on there. So I think we have a schedule that we should have some success in. I think we should have a decent squad, to be honest, as good as we've had in quite some time.
Yeah, and so, you know, do you have any big competitions where, like, I call them, you know, bullseye, you know, ones that you circle, that one that you really want to put some emphasis on. But obviously, besides, you know, the MVC, district, state, you know, is there like one tournament that you always look forward to, or, you know, it's like, hey, this is one of our peak tournaments?
Yeah, you know, I think for the fun things, like, when duels are fun like that, it's not much things better than that. You know, in a basketball game, you got to wait till the fourth quarter, till there's 20 seconds left. In our sport, we get 14 instances of that where, you know, it could be really close. And when you're in this back and forth duel, like, so you ask who, you know, senior, we had a back and forth duel. I think that could be a really fun duel. Cedar Rapids Jefferson came down the last match. You know, Cascade, we split with those guys, and that was a ton of fun. So, like, there's, like, do I have someone like, hey, we're training for these guys? No, I mean, ultimately, we really trained through all of our competition. The guys really get excited about duels when we got, like, hey, this is a competition we can really do well in. And then, you know, home duels, they get really excited about walkout music and all that stuff. But is there, like, someone, like, obviously we want to wrestle the Dubuque schools, we want to wrestle and represent ourselves well, but probably those schools that we have close duels with, and because it's fun back and forth, and then hopefully we can come out on top.
Yeah, so, you know, that team that you got, you know, who are some returning starters that, you know, they you can really, you know, get excited about?
Clearly, Jaron is going to be, you know, the cream of the crop for us. He's working hard, competing for a state championship. Yeah, that's on his mind. That's how he's going to be coached. That's what he's going to be thinking. So Jaron, and then, you know, we have a really nice group of juniors. And, you know, something that's probably unique to Waller, but certainly I know that other schools have this. But a lot of the crew that I work with, I get them out as freshmen. You know, and they're not doing the extra clubs. They're not doing the extra stuff. And I try to have to, like, remember that, you know, these are high school kids. So it's kind of hard being a high schooler right now with all the stuff that they got going on and then with all the distractions that they have. So in essence, I got to kind of trick them into falling in love with the sport. You know, Jaron, for instance, that's a great story. He quit wrestling in middle school. You know, he was out of the sport. So he's another Boone type S kid where he needed loving. You know, I did a whole bunch just to get him to come out his freshman year. And now, you know, he wants to compete in college. He wants to win a state title. He's positioned himself to be a two-time state place winner, to be in the ranks of that conversation of state champion. Like, that's a pretty neat story. But Jaron, and then, you know, Tommy Scher, Michael Borman was a match away from the state tournament. These are guys that came to Estonia with us. They're excited. You know, Brody Schmidt. I got like 12 juniors that they got 3 years of wrestling now, and they're starting to like win matches. And they came, we all came to an ISI camp, and they got to, you know, hang out together. That's the thing that's just really neat, is when we're hanging out together at camp in Estonia. We were just talking about in the locker room after girls practice today. They were sharing stories from Estonia, you know, and they're like, man, I'm excited for this season. I'm like, sweet. that's exactly what we want.
And that's huge, because like you've always kind of have done things, you know, outside the box of, you know, the traditional, like, hey, we're going to go to the Iowa Hawkeye wrestling camp, or we're going to go to, I'm not going to plug ISI on this one. We got a different one from there. But instead of like, you know, doing like the traditional way, it's like, no, let's go overseas. Like, let's, you know, you talked about, Bulgaria. I went with you guys to Paris in 2019. Still, like, one of the coolest trips I ever experienced in my life. Depending on if I was being a baby or not.
No, you did great, man.
Yeah.
You did great.
And then, you know, this past year you guys went to Estonia. So, you know,
dude, I was able to wrestle in Jordan also
I saw pictures. Which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, by doing that, you know, you're making wrestling fun for these guys. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, other coaches aren't, because, you know, I think there's always a different way to, you know, I don't like to use the term skin a cat, because I never really understood that phrase, but like,
that's great.
As a bartender, I always say there's more than one way to make a Bloody Mary. Yeah. So that's a good way to look at it that way. You know, do you think that's, you know, a huge attribute to you?
Well, you know, I think, and this is, we all fall into this, and I do it as well, but it's something that I've really been kind of hammering on, right? It's easy to look around and see what other coaches are doing and kind of feel bad about yourself, like, maybe I'm not doing enough. But, you know, back to that quote thing, I'm a big quote guy, comparison is the thief of joy. You know what? The way that I do things is not the way that you do things, and that's okay. And it might not be the way that other people do it, but we've had a little bit of success, and I think we're really starting to right the ship, and I think it's going to be a pretty fun season. And that's, you know, that goes from things like that, but also how we run practice and try to keep things going. You know, I try to get in and out 90 minutes. I try not to go more than 90 minutes and, whatever, you know, wrestling can be fun. Wrestling is fun. There's a little bit of suck that we just all have to kind of accept and own. But man, when you're just kind of, when you have a group of kids in there that are working the same, it's pretty dang fun.
Definitely. And do you have any like incoming freshmen that, you know, you think are going to be, could be some hammers for you?
Yeah, you know, the neat thing is these juniors that I have compliment, you know, like our upperclassmen a little bit, but we're thin light, and these eighth graders have been working with Coach Sedlicek. He's been doing a heck of a job the last couple of years getting kids prepared, and it's been a huge benefit that now, really, this is, like, I feel like we can maybe count on some of these guys coming in. So we're hoping to have some of these lightweight guys that have been in the system for 2 years that work with Coach Sedlicek. Coach Sedlicek's been working in the system now for a number of years. Like, he knows what we're trying to get accomplished. And I think we got some freshmen that can step in and help us. It's kind of exciting. So we're hoping to fill that lineup. You know, that's always the goal. And I think we can actually make it happen. It's the first time in quite a long time.
Definitely. And I'm excited to see what the boys do this season. I plan on being out to the Cascade Duels and down on the Cocoda Duels, or the Cocoda Invite, to watch a couple of you guys wrestle this year. So with that, you and I are going to be right back. We're going to talk about the girls' portion of the team because I think that story is just as good as the boys' side of the story that we covered here. So we're going to be right back after these commercials, and, you know, we'll get right back to it.
Guys, stop what you're doing and go to Moskies. Plain and simple. If you're around the Cascade area, stop and get Moskies Barbecue. Some of the best barbecue you'll ever have. Bryce and Shauna do an amazing job. They've had their food truck for a couple years, so in this past year they've opened up a brick and mortar building, and they have not disappointed. I have never not had a bad meal there. I always end up leaving fat and happy. It's one of my favorite places to eat. And on top of it too, they're big wrestling supporters. So if you guys have the opportunity to stop, get some barbecue, stop at Moskies in Cascade, and tell them Worm sent you.
And we're back here at the Wormhole Studios. I have the girls head coach of Waller, Joel Allen. You know, dude, are you ever home?
Wow, you're right. I when this all started, I thought this was going to be like a regular thing that, you know, you start. But then it got sanctioned and everybody had a girls coach. I'm like, holy crap. But I had a relationship with these girls, so it was like hard to give it up, you know.
Oh,
I mean, that's the thing, dude. Like, once you're in it and you got these relationships formed, it's really hard to step away.
Oh, trust me. I know exactly how you feel on it. But you never stepped away. I did. And even like the first couple of years, I was like, this kind of sucks. Like, especially when you see guys that like you started coaching and all of a sudden, like they're like a junior, senior. And it's like, oh, dang. Like, how about like the ship sailed, man? But the girls program at Waller, I think, has probably been, I mean, without question, the most prolific program in the Dubuque County area over the last 5 years or 4 years. You know, what started it? Like, what got, like, where did this idea even happen?
I think it all started on a picture that I saw after 5 years ago. They had the state tournament. There's like, I don't know, 100 girls or 300 girls maybe in the picture. And I'm like, holy crap, like, we need to do this. What am I doing? So this was maybe the second IWCOA or COA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So we jumped into the third. So I saw that picture. I brought it up to a couple girls, and I had this one gal who, Alex Oliver, who just took the bull by the horn, and she just started riling up girls. And she came back to me with a list of like 40 girls on it. I'm like, holy crap. And then they, like, many of them showed up. I think we had like 25 that first year, which is cool. And, you know, I think it was easy for them to say yes, because the way that I ran the program, you know, we were only practicing 2 days a week. So it was just kind of like a fun thing. It has clearly changed from that, clearly, but that's like the ground, of where it all got started. There was something happening, and we, like at ISI, we had, Steve had been pushing the girls program for a while, and you know, we offered it, but it just wasn't happening. But then I could just see everything growing up, and I'm like, we need to be a part of this. So that's why I'm like, let's start it, let's get into it, let's get going. And we jumped on board.
Yeah, and that first year, I mean, how the IOWCA worked, or IWCOA.
Yeah, it's a fun alphabet.
Yeah. How that tournament worked was there was no qualifiers. So literally everyone got to go. So we took 19 girls down in the state tournament, and it's basically just a turkey shoot free-for-all, last man standing kind of thing. And out of that, you know, I know for a fact going into the state tournament, I felt like we might have a placer or two. I wasn't sure.
It was going to be hard.
Yeah, it was going to be hard. Because, I mean, like, those brackets were loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, they're deep. But also, like, you know, there are girls that have been wrestling since youth. Like, they're back in that tournament, Ella Schmidt, Lily Luft, you know, Janelle Avila. Girls like that, or Chloe Lloyd. They were all all in there, and like, and they're all hammers. Like, they're all like, they all wrestled varsity for their respective boys teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah. and were thumping these boys. So it was like, this wasn't just going to be like a powder puff tournament, a game or anything like that. And, you know, we had, I think, you know,
a lot of pins.
Yeah. We got third team took third. Out of that though, two girls ended up with medals, Lainey Dugan and Elena Schmidt. And Elena Schmidt goes off and wins a state title.
Beat the nationally ranked girl in the finals.
Yeah. You know, with Elena, like, I felt like half the time that she was at practice, like, she didn't want to be there.
Yeah, she just, to be honest, she had boy strength, man. She's just such a great athlete, super strong. She's picking girls up, dropping them on their head.
Just a big double and a big
double
half.
Like half Nelson.
Yep.
Hell, what else do you need?
Yeah, and, you know, so she pinned her way through the state tournament, you know, and then breaks her leg in the finals.
No, she tore her ACL during the match.
Yeah, during the match, tore her ACL. And it's kind of, it sucks to say, because, like, I remember, like, when we heard that, we're like, oh, my God, because she was a stud track runner.
Stud track and stud swimmer.
Yeah, man. And we're like, we just lost, like, we just blew this girl's, like, college future. And then, like, a month later, COVID happens.
Thank you, COVID.
Yeah. You know, like, so, like, she never, like, everyone missed that yeah. season. So, but then out of that, too, you had Lainey Dugan. That's a pretty interesting story in itself.
Oh, that's a great story. One of my favorites, actually. She's right up there with one of my favorite kids I've ever coached. Yeah, Lainey, you know, she was a girl. I remember I had that first informational meeting and she like was the last girl at the door and she like shook my hand. She's like, "Hi, I'm Lainey." I'm like, "Hey." I'm like, "Okay." Like she's just very outgoing and then just kind of just gritty as hell. First year, she's one on grit and not much technique at all.
Cow catcher.
Yeah. And then, you know, she stuck with it. Second year, she had that success a little bit. But, and I still remember in that year, we talked a little bit. I'm like, "Hey, you're kind of getting past that. You're going to have to maybe wrestle with some boys. Like, you're going to have to wrestle with me a little bit." And, like, I did one time, and maybe she wasn't super comfortable. So, we totally backed off because I want to make sure she was comfortable. She goes off, and she took seventh her next year. And then in the off season, I'm like, "Lainey, like, you can be special, but it's going to take work. It's going to take a lot of work, and we're going to have to wrestle. We're going to have to wrestle a lot." We wrestled the whole summer. We were doing a lot of open mats, and we really just had to turn her into a wrestler and a brawler. So she still got the brawl. She's still a brawl too. Like she loves to get in that fist fight, and she wants that third period. She wants to win it in the third period because she just keeps on going. But yeah, she turned into a wrestler. It was pretty fun, man. That was a wild story. I think there's 55 girls in her bracket, and
She had I think we talked about it in her podcast. She was like 7-6 going into the state tournament. Hard to talk a girl, talk any athlete up that's going to the state tournament. "Hey, you're just above 500, but you're going to win it."
Mental jujitsu, buddy. That was a tough one. You're right. But I threw her to every stinking tough girl that we could, and I knew that she was capable of it. And we won a couple matches right before to kind of right the ship. So we were a little bit more positive than that. But yeah, we go into the state tournament with, you know, we had a ton of losses in there. But, you know, I to be honest, my thoughts had never changed. It was kind of like going into that 2018 state tournament. I think I stole a quote from McGregor, like we weren't going to take part. Like I knew going in that we what we were capable of, and I knew going in what Lainey was capable of. And then she just went out and did her job and worked hard. And yeah, I mean, I get teared up even thinking about it.
That's, oh, dude, yeah. I was out 2 years when she won state, but I got a coach her sophomore year, and I went down and watched, and just watching the celebration that you guys had, watching how her mental poise that entire match was just like she was not gonna be denied. I'm pretty sure I started crying in the stands. It was hard not to because it's just like you see a girl that just literally was just like, "F this, I'm taking what's mine," and she bawled out, and and she talked about it in her podcast too, where she just was like, "I just felt like this was it was hers for the taking," and she just gritted and went through it.
And I mean, neat story too. Like that's a girl that. Her sophomore year, she had never wrestled a day in her life before that, you know?
And now she's a Division I wrestler.
Which is it's a really neat story. Yeah. And she drank the Kool-Aid, and it was a lot of, "Yes, coach, like, here are the areas you need to work on. This is what you need to get better at, you know? Like, Matt returned, so guess what? You're going to be going with Dudek. And Dudek's not very nice when he wrestles. He wasn't very nice to her. They got tougher there. Like, we need to get better in those areas. And she just did it every single time. Incredibly coachable, gritty. Ton of fun to be around, hard worker, yeah,
great person. I mean, when she came and did the podcast, like she sat and talked to my wife for like 45 minutes, it seemed like, about anything. And then all of a sudden, like a couple weeks later, we're down at the gym and Lainey's there working out, and she like just merely like, doesn't even say hi to me, just beelines over to Kylie and starts talking to her. And like, Kylie's like, "I feel like she's like one of those kids that you coach like your entire life, that I've known their entire life and I was like, "That's just her. She's a sponge, man. Like, yeah. she's great. She's a great social butterfly. She's great for the sport in the air." Sure.
Yeah.
But so this year, upcoming season, you guys are in the Donnybrook.
We are in the Donnybrook, baby. 43 teams.
What are you thinking?
You know, Donnybrook's going to be fun, dude. I think that we've got a really solid group of girls coming in. And They need to be tested. They need a measuring stick. And I got a quote on the wall, man. I spent a lot of time figuring out what I wanted to put on that wall when we built that wall 10 years ago. And I believe it. And I believe it. I want the kids to believe it as well.
Can I guess which one it is?
Sure, man.
Success isn't final and failure is not fatal.
Ah, it doesn't sound that good. Winston Churchill, but it's actually failure isn't fatal and success isn't final.
That's it, yeah.
Right? So it's all about work. And it's about the, you know, just literally the marathon that is our season and really just the sport, and if you look at it from a year standpoint. So we got a couple girls that need to be tested, and they're going to get this test. But not only that, you know, the thing about the Donnybrook is it's not an O2 and you're out.
Yeah.
They come back the next day, but O2 girls get paired together, and hopefully we can get some decent matches for all our girls. So I'm excited about it. It's incredibly expensive. I haven't figured out how to pay for it yet, but we're working on that.
If anyone wants to donate to Waller Wrestling, yeah. give Joel a call.
He's thinking $500 to get in that tournament.
Hey, man. Gosh. Yeah, do it, man.
Yeah.
Returning starters, you got Ava Blue, Boone's sister.
Yep.
Returning state qualifier.
Yeah, and she was, you know, a match away from being on that podium. So we're close. She needs to keep working and keep working on her game. Definitely. We got Ava Blue in there. And then we got some girls that didn't quite punch her ticket that we're excited about. Abigail McDermott, stinking tough girl. T-Swift, Taylor. You know, we got a handful of girls that are returning, that the Dear Sisters, Naomi and Ruby. It should be a fun season, you know. And then we got some tough freshmen, too, which is exciting.
Yeah, speaking of them, I think we covered this long enough. I mean, you have two freshmen that are coming in that are extremely well-accoladed in Bella Miller and Eve Skoraki. What have you seen so far out of them that gets you excited?
Hammers, man. I mean, they beat me up. So, yeah, Bella just took second at preseason nationals. Very strong girl. Incredibly coachable. Sweetheart of a gal. And just listening, you know. So we got to train. You got to train every athlete, yeah. Special, right? But, you know, so she's getting, you know, we're doing some individual work with her. And same with Eve. Just really talented girls, you know, both middle school state champs. And Bella's got, you know, accolade after accolade. And, you know, it's fun and interesting, too, is the middle school girl scene still kind of quiet, you know. Like, there's some, like some of like the upper echelon know about Bella, know about Eve. There's a lot of the state that don't know who they are yet, and there's going to be a coming out party. It's going to be pretty fun to watch these girls.
Well, IA Russell knows who Bella is. They have her ranked second in the state coming in as a freshman, which is crazy. Like, you rarely see a freshman ranked that high. You know, I think the sky's the limit for her, and I know that you think the same way.
I would be remiss to say that anything other than a one underneath her is not the goal, right? Like, so we're training for that. We're talking about it. We're talking about how to handle that. You know, it's early season, right? We got a long ahead of us. But, you know, Bella has that goal. Eve has that goal. And it's fun when any athlete has a goal. Like, and then let's figure out how to help them get there. And that's what we're doing.
Do you think because of that, does high ties raise ships in your wrestling room with it?
100%, man. 100%. When you start, in the beginning, it's kind of like, dang, you know, like that girl needs to back off a little bit. Because the girls are going to, like, they're going to quit because they're going so hard. But now it's like, oh, crap. Like, that's what it looks like. That's what it takes, kind of
thing. That's the standard. Yeah. So it's slowly becoming the standard.
Yeah. You know, and so we've had success at Waller, but it's kind of similar success that we've had with the boys. We've had some strong dual teams, especially early in my career there. And while you were there, like we had some pretty tough dual teams. It was a lot of fun. But we've had, you know, kind of like some top end guys. And then sometimes, you know, the individuals, we haven't quite figured it out yet. But in large part, it's because we're starting them when they're stinking freshmen. So the neat thing, though, is that we've got two freshmen that are really, really strong. And it's not like we have to wait until their junior year for them to start to understand the program, to understand what we want. So hopefully, you're right, like that can rise the tides and we can start to, you know, keep it where we are. I think I have 17 girls signed up. you know, I'm really, really happy with that.
I was saying, like, you guys started practice this week. How many of you have been in the room?
Yeah, so we have 12 or 13 in the room right now because I have my swimmers that are still going. That's what sucks in the beginning. Like, for equality, you know, I'm on the board that kind of helped decide these things. But to keep the girls' program or season the same length as the boys, we have to start 2 weeks early. But because we're doing that, we overlap with volleyball. We overlap with swimming. We have a strong volleyball team, right? We have a strong swimming team. We have a cheer team that's still going. So I got cheers that aren't able to practice yet, my swimmers, and they need to focus on what they're doing. This kind of goes back to what I was saying a little bit earlier. It's hard to be a high schooler, especially like at a school like Waller, where, you know, maybe traditionally basketball is where we're at, but it's also, dude, these kids aren't in one sport, you know? Yeah. Jaron, who took fourth and is competing for a state title, that kid's an all-state cornerback, you know? They're doing track, they're doing baseball, they're doing wrestling, you know? So I need to respect that, and I appreciate all that stuff. I did the same thing. That's what I want them to be doing. But it is what it is, you know? So we got 12, 13 girls working hard. We had a fun first week of the season, and I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. Now, you've become, this past year, you've kind of become the elder statesman kind of overnight. You and Cleary both, you know, you went from being the young gun coach. Now all of a sudden you're the second oldest, or second or third, depends if you count Rebarger, right? But Rebarger's younger than any of us, like in spirit wise. Dude's in a band. But what advice would you have out there for these up and coming guys like the Zach Thompsons, the Brett Hasses, the Jackson Healy's that are starting as a head coach now? Like, What piece of advice would you give them, you know, not wrestling advice, but just how to be a coach?
I think it comes down to, ultimately, number one, all of it comes down to relationships. I've had tough seasons, right? Most coaches do. Some coaches have been blessed to have a really strong youth program that kind of feeds in, and maybe they don't have to have quite the tough drought that I've had, but if you focus on relationships, you're going to remember what it's all about, right? Like, I do an end-of-the-year video, and I spend so many hours on it. And I still remember early on, Jeremy, you give me a hard time. Like, well, there needs to be more wrestling, you know? And mm-hmm. I do it for that. But ultimately, I do it for the memories. I do it for the relationships and help kids understand, like, man, this was pretty fun. Even though it was hard, it was pretty fun. And I've been doing that for a while. But so relationships, focus on those relationships. And then the other thing that I would really say to a young coach is to remember that quote, what I had said earlier on the podcast was, comparison is the thief of joy. What works over at that school over there or across the street over there, you know, if you're using that as your measuring stick, if you're looking at my program and saying, well, he's doing this, he's going to these international trips, it's just, you're not going to be happy. Like, you know what you need to accomplish and how you can get there. It's up to you to decide. And then you look yourself in the mirror and you be the judge, right? Like, there's going to be haters. Everyone's got haters. And if you're listening to those haters, if you're giving them an ear, it's going to be a long road. You're going to have to just keep your head down and say, this is the way that I think it needs to be done. And then make sure you got thick enough skin to handle that.
Awesome. That's a great way to put a bow on that. You know, wrapping things up, man. Two questions for you. One, favorite shoes of all time.
I'm so happy that you're asking that. I know you ask people that, and you already know my answer, baby. You should know this. Number one, I need to say, I'm not a shoe guy. I don't care about any of that crap. I couldn't even name you a shoe. I could name you a wrestler, and I guess like Jordan Burroughs probably has shoes. And I think I even have them, maybe. But I don't have a shoe, except I can describe a shoe. A pair of shoes that you gave to me and the janitors threw away, which pissed me off more than anything. They're Zips.
And they're now valued at over $300, and I gave them to you and you let a janitor throw them away.
Pisses me off.
ASICS Supreme Light Flex 2s.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Just kidding. But then there was a... Isn't it like a Rulong? Aren't those expensive shoes?
Yeah.
The ones Rulong we had Gardeners? At Horse. Yeah, okay, ones, black yeah. and yellows. Yeah. I have a pair of those. And I know where they're at. I thought I had lost them for a long time. I have a pair of those because it was a team shoe. Coach Stu says, hey, we're buying these. I bought them for $65. I wonder what I could sell them for now.
I don't know. They're pretty beat up. Yeah. But still, you probably get double what you paid for them, at least, minimum. And also, and you know, closing up, you know, favorite assistant coach you ever had?
Jeremy Buffelli, baby. We need him back. Tried getting him back. He said no.
Oh,
okay. I've been blessed to have a lot of really good coaches, to be honest, though. And from the beginning, Dave Skirpik, Jeremy Kirkland, Wiggy, Dudek, everyone in between. The neat thing that I have right now is kids that I've trained, they're with me. I mean, that's really neat.
Yeah, that. I mean, I got to experience that with you for a couple of years when Dudek and Wiggy came on. You know, they were guys that, you know, we coached together, and it was like, it was very cool because, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, you look at you, you know, they left their boys and they come back, they're men that have careers and jobs, and you can talk about things outside of the wrestling world that's not, you know, you become friends.
Yeah, and definitely, and it's also kind of like, you know, like a Dudek, you know, his I remember just freaking being on his ass in high school, and he's telling me his goal, he wants to be a fireman. And then he's a freaking fireman. And then kind of like maybe, you know, maybe I helped him kick him in the ass when he needed it. Because I remember kicking him in the ass when he was in college too. And like, yeah, I'm not doing it. Like, go take the freaking test. But then like Luke Sedlicek too, like we competed against him. It's really neat to have him, and he's been awesome. So
Yeah, he's been loyal to Waller since the moment he walked in.
Yeah, he's been great.
I know he was a guy that, you know, when I was getting ready to step down, I knew like he would be like the perfect replacement. He's just a spark fire of energy. You know, he loves wrestling. He loves Waller wrestling. So that's awesome for you, man. All right, man. Anything you want to say before we log off?
Nope. Go Jeremy.
Thanks, brother. All right. We'll be back.
Man, killer episode with Joel. Love sitting down and talking with him. At the time of this recording, Joel and his wife, Emily, just welcomed their fifth child, Aoife, to the world. She was born Saturday night. She is doing great. Joel's already back coaching. You know, he's just producing a nice family of wrestlers, so super excited for the Allen family. Nothing but the best for them coming forward. If you guys liked this episode, I mean, he's a pretty passionate guy, right? Pretty serious about the sport of wrestling, but also doesn't take it incredibly over seriously. He understands what the sport is. The sport's fun. It's a good way for kids to grow, and obviously we all love the sport of wrestling. And I think that he definitely does it a different way than a lot of coaches. You know, he does a lot of things outside the box, you know, the Europe trips around the area. In the past, he has done these things called ninja wrestling camps, where basically he would take all the Holy Family schools after school, and they would have like an hour practice. One of the Holy Family schools every night, an hour practice after school, where they just learned a little bit of wrestling. And then in around December time, they had the Ultimate Ninja Tournament, where they would have basically a little kids wrestling tournament with all the Holy Family kids, just to get kids excited about the sport of wrestling. And I think it's starting to show, especially for them. And then wrestling Bellevue this season, they're doing 4 duels that night, and it's going to be their little kids programs, their middle school programs, their girls team, and the varsity team. Another awesome way to grow the sport, right? You know, really just getting kids excited about wrestling, not, you know, not just the constant grind. So coaches out there, if you guys are thinking of, you know, doing things that are outside the box, try it, do it, might work. Especially when you have kids that, you know, we've all wrestlers, you know, sometimes during the season, you know, wrestling gets mundane, you know, the grind of it all. So you got to do things to kind of shake it up. And I've always thought Joel does a really good job shaking things up on that aspect. Going into the rest of this week, guys, we have a busy week ahead of us. We are officially in wrestling season, guys. I hope you're as excited as I am, because I was just thinking about it today. Like, there is something going on every night here coming up. Let's see. Starting out of the gate, tomorrow night, Wednesday, or tonight, actually, now the podcast going live, Wallert wrestles in their Chaos in the Cafeteria. That's an inter-squad duel that takes place in their cafeteria at Wallert. Kind of a cool concept. Again, thinking outside of the box. Thursday night, Loras College is wrestling BV. If you go to BV's athletic website at 7 p.m., you can watch the live stream of that duel. Always good to watch Loras. They're currently ranked in the top 10. So should be a really fun duel for them to start off the season with BV. Friday. Oh, actually, go back Thursday night if you're not able to go to the stream and you want to do something in person. Coach Dan Gable will be giving a speech at the ARC Ballroom at Loras College at 6 p.m. So if you get a chance to go, see him go to the ARC at Loras. You know, he'll have a great speech. He's going to be just talking about his career, the sport of wrestling, and he's actually a great motivational speaker. So he'll probably get some motivational speaking in as well. So that's exciting if you want to check that out. Friday night, Bellevue has their girls tournament. Yeah, I think there's Wallert Senior, Cascade. You know, they're going to have pretty much the entire area of girls teams are going to be going down to Bellevue for that competition. So go down there if you want to support women's wrestling in Iowa. Bellevue is going to have their tournament on Friday. Also Friday night at Epworth at Locals, they are going to have the West Dubuque Wrestling Takedown Fundraiser. That costs $15 to get in, 21 and over only. That $15 gets you food, drinks, and a live performance by Brody Tupi, Loras College wrestling coach / stand-up comedian. So if you want to go support West Dubuque Wrestling, go out to Locals. It's Friday night, 7 p.m. Again, $15, 21 and over only. No kids allowed. They just really don't want kids there. They want parents to be there to kind of get excited about the season. Saturday, Loras goes up to Concordia up by Milwaukee. This tournament, guys, absolute grind. Kind of like the Midlands of D3 wrestling. Your North Centrals, your Elmhurst, Wartburgs, Loras. I believe a bunch of the Wisconsin schools, Milliken, they all come out, and this tournament is deep. It's tough. Especially even like going off of even last week's tournament for Loras up at Luther. University of Iowa brought their whole squad up. Augsburg brought their whole squad. Wartburg, Co. Everyone came out, brought their full teams. And, I mean, just a dogfight of a tournament. So to have two tournaments like that back-to-back for Loras, that's going to be huge for them, I think, coming the postseason. Sunday, the University of Dubuque is wrestling up in Albion, Michigan. I believe that's just an invite tournament, so probably like eight teams. Both their men and women's teams are going up there, so that should be a good competition for them. Then also Sunday, Iowa is wrestling Oregon State down at Iowa City. That duel starts at noon. Significance-wise, Boone McDermott, formerly of Dubuque Wallert, will be wrestling heavyweight for the Oregon State Beavers. Currently coming in ranked 18th on Flow. So, be a fun opportunity to get a lot of Dubuque people down to Carver. Cheer on Boone as this is his only time, and probably his last, it will be his last chance to wrestle in Carver. So, if you guys get the opportunity, go watch some Iowa wrestling. I think tickets are still available. Go down, support Boone. Or if you're going to boo him, at least throw an NE at the end of it. So, it's Boone. You know, at least show them some love, right? All right, guys, thanks again for listening. Thank you to all my sponsors, Raiders, Lane's Custom Steel, Gravel Grading and Excavating, Big Game Wrestling Club, Cascade Athletic Club, Jerry Levy Exit Realty, Leonard Funeral Home, Kramer Pest Control, Dubuque Wrestling Club, Hartwig Marina, Spine and Sport Chiropractic Center. You guys are great. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the podcast. Tune in next week. I am going to be by myself. We're going to just be doing some recaps. We're going to talk some wrestling advice. Otherwise, this is Worm. I got my one. I'm out. Thanks again for listening. Follow us at Worms Weigh-In on Instagram or follow us at Dubuque Area Sports Podcast on Facebook.